Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Saturday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive. The message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, we'll pray with you. Having a question about the lesson, we do our best in the Lord Jesus answer for you. Having the comments, we ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So, thank God for all you listening at the 7 o'clock hour Central Standard Time. On this Saturday, those of you who follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know that means the full gospel message with Brother Eddie Lee and the sisters. And as we await for them to come on, we want to take this opportunity to thank God for all of you that are listening far and near. May the Lord bless you, your family, and your loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen. And we are grateful to the Lord for this opportunity that he has given us to spread the gospel, the unadulterated gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to all of you that are listening. And it's truly indeed a blessing to be able to do such a thing as that on this very day. Amen. So glory be to God. He is worthy to be praised, people, and to be glorified. So we're very grateful for the opportunity he has given us to share the word of God today. Amen. And it is very important in this day and time that on a personal level that you will let the Lord deal with you in your heart about the things of God. Let him deal with you in your heart about you personally. You know, some people looks more to the Lord to talk to them about other people than themselves. But my Lord, he is a balanced God. And he don't just show you things concerning other people, but he's going to show you about yourself, okay? So understand, you know, that some of you listening, you've been getting a prophetic word here and there by other people and getting some things concerning other folks, and you have become focused on whatever the Lord deals with you about, it's going to be about somebody else. Well, rest assured, the things about you is coming. Okay, because God is a balanced God, you know, just like he's not just concerned about your spiritual life, but he's concerned about your natural life, okay? So he's a balanced God. So I'm telling you now, some of you that's listening, you know, in quote, got used to, you know, whatever God's showing you, oh, he's showing you by other people. But rest assured, he's finna show you about you, okay? So you got to understand this, that he is a balanced God. Amen. And glory to God. So I, you know, thank God for being the true living God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm grateful that he is balanced. He's not biased, okay? He's not prejudiced. Oh, he's not a racist. You know, he's not none of that, okay? So I'm just very grateful for that. Amen. And looking at the time, you know, and I've noticed that there are more and more people coming up with I got a word from the Lord, okay? And I say that to say this. I'm not telling you that God cannot, our Lord Jesus Christ cannot use anyone else. But what I'm telling you is this. Check everything that's coming your way that is said to be from the Lord. Now, there are some people, I'm just going to be straight up with you. There are some people who I've seen who has come out on the scene and said, I got a prophetic word from the Lord, and they constantly come in sometime every day. God is telling them something or something like that. Some of them I can sense that it's not of the Lord, okay? Some of them I sense is the flesh. So be very careful all these thus says the Lord is coming for, that you make sure that you check it out before you run with it. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Shalom, my brother. And to all the people of the earth. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge you.
Yes,
the Messiah, the soon coming King. We acknowledge you.
Yes,
we offer
Jesus
this broadcast and let it be sanctified to your glory.
Yes,
for your
Lord
kingdom
Jesus
and your glory. Sanctify
yes,
us by
Lord
the washing of the word through the blood of Jesus. Known as we like grace to share the gospel of good news.
Yes,
give the power and ability to touch many lives and hearts and nations. In Jesus' name, bless the
yes,
saints everywhere. Bless the saints in every nation who are prevailing against the gates of hell, seeking to cast down the works of darkness. Bind the strong man. Preach the atonement of the death and the resurrection of our Lord. Anoint their head with precious oil. Heal,
yes,
protect, and deliver. Send your anointing like it was Elijah. Send your power. Victory is assured. Your promise is sure. We acknowledge you. Give the saints new energy, new faith, new courage, wherever they be at. Every oppression be broken in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
the Christ, deliver us from all evil. The thine kingdom come and fill the earth with our desire. Open the blind eyes, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, the dead to rise again. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, this is 11th. How are your regions doing there, and brother? This is I'm in Chicago, Illinois, USA. Brother Lee, the boys, praying with our brother Nathaniel Hunt. Without money or price, not asking you for a cent. Not asking you for any money or scam, just to get news to tell you we love you and Jesus does too. He's coming back again. Make ready. Now, the world is in somewhat of a chaos. And yes, no, it is in chaos. World is in confusion. Yeah, it's in confusion. the world is in derision. Yeah, it's in derision. The world is, nations are in distress. The nations of the earth are warring against one another. Storms, tornadoes, famines, whirlwinds are increasing, earthquakes are increasing, just like the prior of the Bible says. Just like the prophets and Jesus said it would be. So, that's news. But look, beloved, to all of you, concerning this gospel of a restoration about, so I was in a visiting a place today, and it was amazing. I was visiting Jehovah's Witness Hall, and I met a couple of the men ministers there, and I said I'll come back and see what your pathway, what's your foundation, what your teaching is. And so I came today, and as I was closing the service, by about 10 minutes, I was able to catch the closing of the service, and they mentioned the minister as I was closing. He mentioned this scripture, Revelation 14:6, and he says, "You know, we have invisible help," and he mentioned angels. That kind of surprised me that Jehovah's Witness mentioned that angels are helping us, but they're invisible. We don't see them or touch them, but they are kind of helping. That was kind of surprising. And I said, after the service, I mentioned him. I said, well, great. You mentioned a very important scripture, Revelation 14:6, an angel coming with the everlasting gospel. Wow. I said, it's strange that you just happened to mention it as soon as I got in there. I thought that was intriguing, brother.
Amen. Amen.
And so after the service, the two brethren at that Society of Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, decided that we could have a little study in the back after the service, and I met with them about, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes, and we had a nice discussion, respectful discussion, and I loved it. They're very humble people, very dedicated people, seem to be. They're organized, and they have a great organization. And I have to commend them for their dedication to their cause, And I admire them how they're basically unified, which is great. And what I think, for most term, they usually work together, especially in field service, and together. And so, but the thing that intrigues me, and I kind of hesitate to say, they don't have the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I have to repeat that because they're very organized, and they talk about Jehovah in the Old Testament, and that's great to recognize his name in the Old Testament, as he's called, Jehovah in the English language. That's not the centerfold affair about exalting Jehovah. And so I asked them, why do you exalt Jehovah? And I turned to a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 11 when Paul said, no other foundation can any man lay except that was laid by the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to them, I said, in Matthew 16, he said, upon this rock I build my church. I said, well, no. He said, Jesus, they did acknowledge that Jesus is the rock. I was surprised when they acknowledged that Jesus was the rock. I said, but the rock said, I'll build my people.
Right.
My people, my church, my people, my congregation. So I was wondering why y'all don't exalt Jesus since it's his rock. He's the rock, and he's the head. So I was just, you know, asking different questions, you know, and very interesting. So it's good to go among people and share the true message of the gospel, everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. With all of that great organization, 8 million people around the world. So we're very dedicated. I made them friendly. They are very engaging. They're clean, neat people. And their halls are clean and organized and run. Their work. But yet, out of all of this, they don't have the foundation of Christ nor the gospel of Christ. Now, you know, when we are discussing things with people, we have to go to the scriptures. And everything I was talking to them in a few minutes, I asked them a couple of questions just to see where they were in foundation. No other foundation, Paul said. None other. Can any man lay that which Jesus has already laid and put down? And then Jesus said in Matthew 6, upon this revelation, a rock, I'm the rock, I build my people, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. Now, the witness in the earth is about a particular person and what he came in the earth to do. The witness is about a person, an individual. So I was trying to set it on the whole witness of Jehovah. I said, well, what is the witness of salvation and redemption, and who's the head of that? I didn't get too much said about, but they didn't acknowledge that Jesus Christ was his son, so, but they're not built, they're not established upon the chief cornerstone. And I was, didn't get to that because, you know, we just started our discussion gradually, and I want to know where they were. And they appreciate my questions, and I appreciate their listening and saying. So we had a grateful little minute of sharing. So I'm glad about it. Now, let's see. There are four great events, mighty events, that's about to happen in the earth, maybe out of the beginning. And the four great events that's about to happen, and I was thinking about these four events, the great mighty events the scripture speaks of, it talks about the second coming of Christ, which is the greatest event we look for preceding the other events or after the events Jesus will come as king. The second greatest event preceding that, thou king, is called Elijah must first come and restore all things. Just taking a view of what's coming on the screen next in the earth, what's going to take place so we can get our track and our minds together. The King of Kings, the Lord above all lords, is coming to rule, to reign. Expectation, great expectation. Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, is coming. The second great event, scriptures tell us, is Elijah or Elias must first come and restore all things. The other afterwards event is called the greatest move of the Holy Spirit and power in the earth. The greatest move is yet to come. The Holy Spirit is moving in many nations in measure, but the greatest move and outpouring of the power of the person called the Holy Spirit is yet to come. And the fourth greatest event is called the greatest spiritual awakening and revival that ever hit the planet Earth is coming. It's going to be mightier than the first Pentecost, the second Pentecost. It's going to be mighty and greater, the scripture says, the third latter rain. Now, you notice that the expectations of the people not knowing or having any hope or have little hope and having no real hope are in fear and fretting, what's next going to come to pass? Well, and you know, Jesus, in Matthew 24, before he left and went back to heaven, he gave us an end-time talk in the 24th chapter of Matthew about that he wanted to know what's going to happen. The disciples wanted to know when the end of the age would come in, the end of the age. And Jesus began to tell them what's going to occur preceding, starting at the beginning, in the middle, and to the very end. The consummation of all things. And he laid them down and he spoke about the events that would occur in the earth. He gave the events all the way back from his day and down to our day that we're living in called the last generation, Matthew 24, Luke 7. He spoke about our last generation in the earth. And he likened it to the day of Noah, Genesis 6. Why did he liken the last generation we're living in the earth, liken unto the day of Noah, Genesis 6? He compared it to that. And he compared it in Luke 17, as also secondly as Sodom and Gomorrah. Why would he compare the last generation? But the other side, the side of hope, that the greatest hand and manifestation and rule of the Holy Spirit is going to be known in the earth. And the greatest setback of the devil's plan that he is going to be sidetracked by this great and mighty army of people who are moved by the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. Now let's see about this person. Many people like to refer person as a it, but this is a person. The Holy Spirit is not a it. It is a non-existent entity of complete being. But the Holy Spirit is a person in the Godhead. Now, the Father, the Eternal Father, became a man. I said the Eternal Father became a son. You know, a father can become a son and a son can become a father. You know that the father became a son and the son became a father. Anybody know that? They put that in the scripture. No, in the human factor, a father can become what? Have a son, and a son can have a father, right?
All right.
Nobody? Okay. Okay.
Amen.
In the manifestation, how the scripture relate and us understanding through the Holy Spirit how the Godhead works. The Father, who is the creator, the Son, who is the Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, who does the work. And they are one function is totally, not completely different, but their function is different. The Son came to redeem us from sin and death. Father sent because of his love. The Holy Spirit is the person that gets the job done. Whatever the Father and Son declares, the Holy Spirit, his job is to see that it's done. Therefore, he testifies the Father and the Son because the Son is in the Father. The Father is in the Son, and the Holy Spirit is in them all, doing the work. In the creation, it notice it in Genesis, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the deep. He is the one to carry out the work and get it done, the person called the Holy Spirit. And let us understand that it's always been, but not really understood, that the Holy Spirit didn't have direct contact with many nations or people, but it revealed somewhat to a nation called Israel when he began to reveal the Father and work of the Son coming to redeem all mankind. But the Holy Spirit did not indwell. He moved upon people and revealed, but he did not indwell them. In the New Testament, Jesus redeemed us from sin through the blood. He wanted to indwell every believer and reveal Christ through them. I'll say that again. The Holy Spirit's main job is to reveal, manifest Jesus in the believer's life. Said it again. One of the functions of the person of the Holy Spirit is to manifest the Father, whose Father sent his Son, for he is to manifest the work of the Son who came to redeem and deliver. The job of the Holy Spirit is to manifest, reveal, demonstrate, and make known. Well, okay, he, the Holy Spirit, it's a person. He is the second greatest factor in the believer's life. Jesus Christ is the Lord in the head. But the second part of that is that the Holy Spirit is the most important part in the believer's life. I'll repeat that again. I'll go over that again because I'm going to show you in the scriptures what it says. This is not something I made up. No problem. The person of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit and the light of the Holy Spirit is the second most important phase of the Christian's life. Nothing and no one else is more important besides Jesus being Lord. Now, he's the Holy Spirit. Why, in the manifestation of the Creator, does he manifest or demonstrate, make us to know how he comes to redeem man and the earth through the means of a loving Father, Creator, sending his only begotten Son, 3:16. The Father became his Son. It says the Father became a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, the Word, who is the Word? The Word was God. The title. What did he do? How did he love? What's going to do? Since the Father can't die, only a man can die, so he took upon him flesh and blood on to die for our sins. Well,
Amen.
God can't die, so a man, so he needed a sacrifice. So he had to become a man to shed blood. He need blood. He need blood to redeem us. So he became flesh and blood, John said one. He became flesh and blood. Well, that's not understood by you human beings so easily. The Holy Spirit has to quicken you to understand that part. How the Father...
Amen.
your natural carnal mind kind of figured out, scratch your head, all that kind of stuff. But it said it's understood by the Holy Spirit. It's understood not by so much by your five senses, but the quickening of the Holy Spirit over your mind to comprehend it, to discern it. The job of the Holy Spirit is to make you to understand the will of God. The job of the Holy Spirit is to enlighten you to the words of the living God. To take you to releasing the power of God through the word of God. He, the Holy Spirit. Now, let's say this. In the beginning of John, the person in the New Testament that called the voice of one crying in the wilderness and praying the way of the Lord, John, one who came baptizing the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, he's called the Baptist, but that's not his name. That's just what he was doing. So people call that that's his name, but that's not his name. He was doing baptism. He was the one that was baptizing people unto repentance and preparing them for something. And preparing them for something, preparing them for someone. Now, John the Baptist came pointing, preparing a people and preparing them for someone and something, someone and something. His job. Now, here's the mystery. When John the Baptist was born, look in Luke chapter 1, 2, 3. John the Baptist, the one they call the Baptist, who baptized with water. So somebody went out and got a church called a Baptist. But that was not what the Lord really meant. He wanted water baptism to be restored, and water baptism was restored because it was taken away from the beginning of the church. And so people call it the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church. John the Wesley had a method, so they named it a Methodist after John. So that's how all these separation comes about. Now, but as we look at the first ministry and mission of John in Gospel of John 1 in Matthew 3, it is talked about his birth, that he is the only man that we know of, but we don't know everything. So I have to put it that way. A lot of people think they know everything. that's a lot of that. So I'm going to say as much as we know, and I know, that John called Baptist was the only one was born with the Holy Spirit. No, I didn't say he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. I didn't say that.
Amen.
Two great events concerning happened in the earth. A man was born with the Holy Spirit, but the other event was another person was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Is there a difference? Yeah, there is a difference. Jesus was over conceived by the Father through the Holy Spirit. That's how Mary got pregnant. No, it was no man's seed. It was the Holy Spirit. Oh, I know the Islam don't want to believe it. The Hindu don't want to believe it. I can't help that. I'm sorry, but I can't help that. I just got to go what's written, brother Nate. I just go by what it is. I can't go around messing around when I figure that, well, no, he had sex and all that with Mary. If that's where you want to see it, you go, are you telling me that it's impossible? With your same mouth, you say God can do anything. Then you turn around and say, well, he can't do that. he can't give birth through a woman. He can't do that. He made the world, created all things, but he can't do that. So he can't impregnate a woman with a seed through the Holy Spirit to give birth, which is called the Son of God. You say, that's impossible. Can't do that. God is just stumped. He can't do that. I said, that's why he can't do it. He can't have no baby through the impregnation of his own spirit in a woman. He can't do that because I won't let him do that. And that's the way it is. So, yeah, but a man and a woman can get together and they can impregnate, but the Holy Spirit can't impregnate. Okay, all right, we got that straight. All right. Now, the events that took place and still scratching heads, these two persons, I think it's in John chapter 1 and Matthew 11, And you look at Luke chapter 1 and 2 about the birth of John, Jesus. When John was born, he had received the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. When Elizabeth was carrying him in her womb, John got baptized with the Holy Spirit while he was in his mother's womb. Wow, I like that part. Okay. I like that part. The Holy Spirit, Elizabeth was bearing John in her stomach. But when Mary carried Jesus and John being in the belly of Elizabeth, they got together. The Holy Ghost says, oh, boom. John's in the womb of his mother and said, boom, and the baby jumped. Oh, the Holy Spirit will make you jump? Yeah, the Holy Spirit will make you jump. I know some people may not like it. Brother Nate,
amen.
The Holy Spirit is the power.
Yeah,
amen.
And so when Elizabeth carried John the Baptist, who was 6 months pregnant before Mary, when Mary came to meet Elizabeth, something connected Jesus in the womb of Mary and John in the womb of Elizabeth. When them two got together, the Holy Ghost had a meeting. And the Holy Ghost and John, the Holy Ghost received while he was in the womb, and it said the child jumped for joy. Well, I'd like to see that, John. I'd like to have a feeling. And the child, Elizabeth, began to jump for joy. I said, John in the womb began to dance. I don't know if they permit dance in some churches, but the child began to jump for joy. I said, jump for joy. Can we say jump for joy? Jump for joy. Because Jesus, the Savior, in the womb of Mary, and John in the womb of Elizabeth, they had a gathering since they were cousins, and Mary went to her house, and then something strange happened at that house. Something mighty. Something great and marvelous. When them two women left, met together. The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
See, the Holy Spirit is the one to carry out the works.
Yeah.
Do the works of God. But when Jesus was in the womb of Mary, when in Elizabeth, and John in the belly of Elizabeth, cousins got together. Savior, the salvation of the earth, and the one to point the way and prepare the way, John in the belly of Elizabeth, when they met, something marvelous happened. People are trying to explain. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus was conceived when the power of the Father, the angel said, the power of the living Father came upon her, and in her womb was given birth the very Son of God without sin. Because it had to be that way, because no sinner could die for the sins of the world. So, that's no sinner. No man in the earth was worthy because he had a sinful nature. Everyone born in the earth under Adam had a sinful nature. All the prophets couldn't die. None of them could die. So the Lord had set a plan for a sinless. If he had been born by Joseph or any other man Jesus was, he couldn't die for the sins of the world. That's why the devil hates the cross. The devil speaks against the cross because he knows the only salvation is through the cross. So he put the cross down, the devil, the cross. He talks against the cross. The Islam, the Hindu, they put the cross down because the devil knows the only way salvation, redemption is through the cross, through the blood, through the death. So he had to put the cross down and said Jesus was just another man. Jesus was just a man. He was not sinless. He was not just sinless. You know why they don't say that Muhammad was sinless? But Muhammad wasn't sinless. You know why they don't say that Buddha and all the fellas and masters but sinned because they were not.
Mm-hmm. So true.
It had to be a sinless sacrifice that Abraham said, that Melchizedek said, that all the prophets, Adam was told that a sacrifice, a redeemer was coming to redeem them. Genesis 3:15. They all were looking, expecting, waiting. Finally it happened. John called the Baptist. He was the preparer of the way. And you know, here's the thing to show you the mystery of, which is unrevealed, made plain. When John the Baptist baptized Jesus with water at Jordan, John the Baptist said, this was his witness. He said, the one that I see, the Holy Spirit sitting upon him as a form of a dove, that's the one. So John the Baptist saw the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove light upon this man coming to be baptized. He said, that's the one. That's the Messiah.
Yeah.
Now listen here. Here's the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove sitting upon Jesus. But then we have the other, the Father speaks and a voice come from heaven. So we got all three of these events all tied up in one, right there at Jordan. I don't care who don't like it, but it still happened. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. What it says in Matthews about this person. In Matthews chapter 3, it writes and says, John the Baptist said to Jesus as Jesus came to be baptized of him at Jordan of water. This is what he said. Behold the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
John 1:29-27. Behold the Lamb of God. Now, that's important because the world needs to understand this. This is a message. Israel didn't understand it. They were looking for him, but they didn't receive him. Behold the Lamb of God.
Behold the Lamb of God.
That takes away.
That takes away.
The sins of the world.
So the world.
You notice no religion in the world that you know of with none of their prophets come saying that, did they?
Sure didn't.
Well, I can tell you, no. No great prophet was this original, tribal, pagan, heathen. None made that claim. None came saying, behold, I am the prophet of Baal Peel. I'm the prophet of the Romans. I'm the prophet of the Assyrians. And I come to take away the sin, cursed nature of man. None of them can say that. Here come, what's this guy's name? Mohammed in the 6th century or some kind. He couldn't say that. And he didn't say it because he couldn't. Now, let's see. John says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin, curse of the nature of Adam, the cursed nature. Most people think that he comes just to forgive their sins. But that's true, but it's not complete true. He comes to change give you a new nature, because the nature of sin you were born with, you're not just born with sin. When you get to the age, the nature of sin stop operating in you. So what did he come? Change your nature to the new birth. That's why I said you must be born again. That's why Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again of the water and the Holy Spirit. Notice he didn't stop at the water, so you got to be born of the water. He could have said, okay, that's it. No, he didn't say that. He said, there's another event that's more important than the water. The water is a type. But the Holy Spirit is the reality. I said, the water is a type, a shadow.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit is the reality of the person.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the reality of that of the type.
Mm-hmm.
The type is a shadow.
Yeah.
But the reality is the Holy Spirit, the person. He comes to make the change. All right, person of the Holy Spirit, John the Baptist said, in Matthew 3. What did he say? I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance.
Mm-hmm.
What's the purpose of water? Not just to baptize in you into a group or to a church, but unto repentance for the remission of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Through faith. Understand it. Through faith. Water baptism is not just to be sprinkled with water. It's a type of shadow of showing you dying and your sins being no more through faith.
Mm-hmm.
Through faith on him who takes away the sins of the world. Faith in the water? No. Faith in him took away
man.
Your sins. Faith in the church? No.
Uh-uh.
Faith in him. Faith in the synagogue? No. Faith in the law of Moses, which is holy? No.
Uh-uh.
Faith in the ordinance of the Jews? No.
Uh-uh.
Faith in your color? Because you are white, red, or blue-eyed, or brown-eyed.
Uh-huh.
Faith in your hair, long dreadlocks? No. Your toenails? No. Faith in him, who's the person? The lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Your faith in him and the blood that he shed, unto repentance, when you're baptized, unto repentance, John said. But then John didn't stop there. He said to Israel, he that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You only find this in the beginning of John's Baptist message. He that cometh after me. Matthew 3, verse 11. Where did he get that message from, that he that cometh after me? He could have said, hey, that's all done. Baptize Jesus in repentance, that's it. It's all done. But he didn't say that, Brother Nate. He said, he that come and talk about Jesus, it is he that shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I wonder, why did John the Baptist say that in the beginning? I know that he got to say it in the second coming. If he said it in the first coming, he surely got to say it in the second coming. Do you think? You think? If he's going to restore all things. We got a message that John's coming the second time to restore all things. Well, then he got to restore that, right? Well, okay, all right.
Amen.
Well, I mean, you know, if he go restore all things, well, why don't we just might have to say he restores something? Are we going to have to change and say restore something?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to have to go back?
Oh,
the word of the restoration means to restore.
Yeah.
Amen.
Surely, we haven't gotten the English language where we go to school to learn the meaning of words so we can comprehend through writing.
Mm.
And so God began to speak and have it written. Begin to speak and have it written.
Yeah,
and scrolled. So every man could read it. Why is the Bible given to us in print? So every man can read it for himself and know it for himself.
Amen.
Yeah. So they can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are blind can have braille. The people that don't speak the language can listen to a tape, hear it in their own language.
Yeah.
So the Lord take away all these excuses now.
Amen.
Hear. See. Hear and see. Now,
yes.
When John the Baptist says, he that cometh after me, Matthew 3, 11, 15. He, talking about Jesus, it is he, the one that shall baptize you with who? He is to give the orders that the Holy Spirit, person of the Holy Spirit, which is the second most important experience in the believer's life. The birth of the Spirit is not necessarily the same. The word birth and baptism, two different words. Do you know that the word birth and baptism, talking about two different experiences?
Amen.
The word birth and baptism. We use words to explain, clarify things, event. So Jesus, John the Baptist said, baptized. Well, baptism is a water you immerse, means submerge, submerge, or emerge completely. It doesn't mean sprinkle. Sprinkle means sprinkle. Baptism means baptism. I know people think they're the same. So how can it be the same when you use different words? Sprinkle, sprinkle. Sprinkle is not baptism. I don't care how much you sprinkle, Brother Nate, over there. He ain't baptized. He's sprinkled.
Amen.
Go over there and sprinkle him. Put some water out of there and sprinkle him. That ain't baptizing. Do you know what baptism means? I don't think Greek or whatever language you want. To baptize means to submerge, emerge completely underwater.
Completely.
But why we want to mess with it? If Jesus had to go down the river to be baptized, if he had to be sprinkled, he could have stayed on the shore and be. He didn't have to go in no water to be sprinkled. He could have got some water in a little cup and sprinkled him. Why did Jesus have to come to the river of Jordan and John was baptizing in the river? Why did he just get a cup and sprinkle them on the shore? Oh, they did a cup of water. Everybody come and just sprinkle him. But it said he was baptizing in Jordan. River.
Yeah.
Now, why we had to come down to the river when all he could go down to town and just get a little cup of water and sprinkle everybody? If they are the same. They're not the same.
Amen.
Don't care. Don't care.
Amen.
And so he uses the term to talk about another baptism, which are more important. Now, the second important baptism is more important. When I say there's a lot of people get offended, throw me rocks. The second baptism is more important than the first. Why did I say that? Both of them are important. But let's both of them are important because Jesus commanded them. But some things are more important than others. More important than others.
Amen.
I'll say it again. Some things in everything in life are more important than others. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
The things are more important. Getting your nails clipped and getting your heart healed is more important than getting your nails clipped. You know, I would think. Getting your pedicure, that ain't nothing to that. But getting, your heart or your pneumonia being taken care of is more important than everything. Now, why are we going to need to be not on it? Now, when you go through the Bible, it talks about and reveals a lot step by step. And in the New Testament, it goes, when Jesus came, he opened the door and the floodgates for us to understand what we call the more perfect will of God. The New Old Testament attempts to give us a starting point, a beginning, a shadow of it, the will of God, till the full will of God was revealed to him, who is the light of life. Now, he's called the light of life. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Why did he say, I am the light of the world? The true light. John the Baptist, John the Revelator said he's the true light. It said in John chapter 1, he is the true light. Well, there must be a bunch of other false lights if he's the true light.
Yes, there is.
He's the true light.
Yes.
And the true life and life. John said, chapter 1, has come.
Right.
John the Baptist was not that light, but he spoke of that light and pointed to that light. And he's still pointing to that light, that people don't want to believe that Jesus Christ is that light. And the gospel, when it's preached, if it doesn't point to the true light, it's false. Let me go over there again. Any religion does not point to John 1, that he is the true light that come into the world to redeem mankind. If it doesn't point, it's error or false. Anybody agree or disagree? If you disagree, show me that Jesus did not say he's the true light. If he's not the true light. Well, that must be a lot of false lights. Okay. All right. Now, this true light came to reveal how man was going to be redeemed and be reconciled back to the Father. To be redeemed and to be reconciled back to the Father. How are we going to get back? Adam messed up.
Mm-hmm.
He disconnected us. Adam disconnected us. When these storms mm-hmm. come, your life gets connected and you don't have no light. You look at the storms, they disconnect. Your light is disconnected. The storm they had over in Hawaii and they just had one in Florida, and all of the lights, 250,000 homes were disconnected, didn't have no light. Disconnected
mm-hmm.
from the main light. Disconnected. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jesus yeah. is that true light, the Mashiach. He's called the Mashiach. He's called in the Hebrew, he's called Yeshua. So
mm-hmm.
just in case everybody in America thinks that everybody speaks English, let me tell you that the rest of the world speaks in their own language. All right.
My Lord.
You know, Americans, we're so proud. We think everything got to be about us, Don't y'all Americans, because y'all think y'all, you know, Americans is the top nation, the most blessed nation, the most favored nation. But we just go so proud. We think everything revolves around us as America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But every nation of the earth, most they speak their own language, their own culture. They're not Americans. Jesus didn't come in the world just to save Americans. I said he didn't just come to save the Jews. People thought that Jesus, in the beginning, thought he just came to save the Jews. They were mistaken. And most people think America, the light shines on America. He just come to save us of America. All right, let's get off of that. First, it's called the Holy Spirit. I can't believe that. We got 7 minutes left. And tomorrow night is going to be your night. I'll take the first night, the next two nights, beloved, you all can prepare. So don't come back telling me that this is Handmaiden Night. And we want the people of the world to know that the Lord speaks to who his handmaids.
Amen.
Is that all right?
That's
we
all
want
right.
the world to know he has a body of Christ made of men and women. Sons and daughters, and they speak. They are his sons and his daughters. No, they're just
mm-hmm.
not. No, see, you know why I say these things? Because the scripture says these things. Because people are afraid of stuff, this sectarian and denomination stuff. So I speak to the people in Christ as sons and daughters. So we don't get in that confusion about church this, church this, church this, church that. I say the body of Christ, the revolt, the redeemed. So I don't have
mm-hmm.
to get into an argument with these people, you know, because, you know, they want to argue about denomination. The devil made up denomination to separate us.
Amen. Amen.
Why you think we've got 100 or 200 different Christians divided, or 300,
mm-hmm.
whatever. Why you think they're divided? What they're divided on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why do you think... Mm-hmm. that we have different races of people, but they divided by culture and race and language.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we have divisions, some good and some not good. Divisions are not all bad. Some are necessary. Some are important.
Mm-hmm.
You have to divide yourself from sin and darkness. You got to separate. You got to divide from that. There's no doubt. When you're dying with a cancer, they got to divide that cancer out of you, get it out of you, for you to live, right? So you got to divide that so they can't stay here.
Amen.
All right. Tomorrow
Amen.
Night, we'll continue on the most important function person in these last days. I will pour out the Holy Spirit, Joel says, upon all nations. Do you hear that? He said,
Amen.
I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit upon all nations. So you think the person of the Holy Spirit doesn't have a great job and mission and function? He, the holy person of the Holy Spirit, will come.
Yes.
How is the work going to be done? Angels come and give directions. They have light and power.
Mm-hmm.
But actually work in the body of Christ is the work of the Holy Spirit.
Lord.
He will get the job done. Without
mm-hmm.
him, even Jesus, the Son of Man, could do nothing. But he, the Holy Spirit. Why did John the Baptist need the Holy Spirit when he was born? Why did Jesus have the Holy Spirit was a sign that the Holy Spirit was the one to do the work set upon him? Why did the Holy Spirit poured out upon the first group of believers if he was not important. Why did Jesus say, go to his disciples when he left and went back to heaven, wait, go in the upper room and wait.
Amen.
Well, if Jesus knows what he's talking about, don't do anything. Go and wait in the upper room.
Wait.
Acts chapter 1. For he, the Holy Spirit, came.
Yes,
and
Lord.
He got them started. The person of the Holy Spirit, the acts of the Holy Spirit, the works of the Holy Spirit, and the function of the Holy Spirit is the most important second phase of the Christian life. Nothing, I'm sorry, you can differ with me. I don't have no problem with it. You might disagree with me. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, that Elijah could not do what he did unless the power of the Lord was. Daniel couldn't do what he did. No, none of them. And Moses surely couldn't, because he was bathed in that stuff. Moses was just bathed through and through like no man was bathed. Would you like to get that bathing like that Moses got? Wow.
Man.
Who would like to get that bathing that Moses face to face? He couldn't see, but he was bathed in it, soaked in it, illuminated in it. He got so much of it, Brother Nate, that he stopped aging. Wow.
Yes.
He got so much inside of him, sisters, that he stopped aging.
My Lord.
He stopped aging.
Yes.
You mean you get some more like Moses had, we'll stop aging?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I think
we said restore things, you know, restore things. All right, beloved. How y'all doing as we close? We speak to the people that are listening. We have the Midnight Cry, the Church of Christ, Elijah Methodist, the message of the restoration of life and the gospel of Jesus Christ. He loves all people, but he does not love sin because people get confused. Well, he don't love the homosexual. Listen, I don't know why people just focus on this one sin, even though it's a great abomination. But Lord hates anything that separates you from him. Remember that. The reason he hates it, because it separates you from him. And anything that separates you from the Father in his presence, he hates it because it keeps you coming where he lives. You can't live where he lives.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, he has to go.
Yes, Lord.
So, if you want to live with Jesus, spend your eternity with him to be in his house. He said, can't come into my house with that. It's got to go. Brother Lady said, can't come in my house. Got to go. Well, I'll see y'all tomorrow night. Anyone that wants Jesus in their life, wherever you are, tonight is decision night. The greatest decision of your night. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock, Revelation 20. If you'll just let me in, come in, invite me to come in into your life, and I'll ask me to take your sins, my iniquity away, and wash them away, and ask Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior and your Redeemer, he will come today, right now, and give you the beginning of a new beginning of your life. This beginning. Hallelujah. All right then, beloved, wherever you are in every nation, we know what's coming upon your life is terrible. We pray the power of Christ and the gospel is the answer to your every problem. This is Church of Christ with Elijah Messer signing out. We love you with the love of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Once again, we thank God for all you've been listening. And we love you all. May the Lord continue to bless you and watch over and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
God bless. Amen.